Christmas Weekend Monitor, and this is Barry Nelson. Well, what are you doing New Year's Eve? One thing for sure, making resolutions. But why? Well, a man who knows a good deal about New Year's customs all over the world will tell us their origin and development, and there are a few you've never heard of. That's 3 minutes from now. And also this half hour, Joe Garagiola on sports, another GI with a Christmas greeting for the folks at home, and plenty of music in the holiday mood like this one, Sleigh Ride by Skitch Henderson's Orchestra.
This chapstick lip twister. Whistling wind whips weather-worn lips. Now try it this way. When whistling wind whips weather-worn lips, chapstick goes on.
When whistling wind whips weather-worn lips, chapstick goes on. That's easy.
That's right. When wind and weather make your lips dry and rough, you need chapstick lip balm, the fast relief for dry, chapped lips. Lip discomforts disappear when chapstick goes on.
With Christmas over, can New Year's be far behind? Well, if it is, we've miscalculated. And during this week between the two holidays, you'll probably be giving some thought to resolutions for 1966. But how did all this get started, by the way? Why do we make New Year's resolutions? Is it a custom shared around the world in another eras? Well, the gentleman who knows is Jack Harrison Pollock, author of an article which traces the origin and variety of New Year's resolutions and other customs. The piece printed in Parade, the Sunday supplement, is titled Unleash the Lions, It's New Year's. Unleashing the questions is Monitor reporter Tex Antoine.
Mr. Pollock, why do we make resolutions on New Year's Day? I mean, who started the whole thing?
Actually, Tex, it started in ancient Rome. They used to clean the chimneys then, and feeling it would bring good luck and get a fresh start. And the phrase which has come into the English language, clean the slate, you know, get rid of your bad habits, which I have plenty of. Make a new start, new beginning, Tex.
Oh, so it actually did start in ancient times.
Right, of course.
Well, what about New Year's Eve celebrations? Why all the noise and noisemakers?
Well, noise actually originated in ancient Babylon and India, but lots of other peoples use noise, too. You know, the Chinese use the firecrackers and unleash the lines to frighten away evil spirits. Even in Russia today, they use it. Oddly enough, in Russia, they beat the house with sticks to get rid of the devil. The Siamese fire guns, and even in the South in the United States, they shoot off guns in many places. It's the same thing. Get rid of the evil spirits, bring in the new year. Fresh slate.
Well, during this time of the year, food plays a very important part. Are there any traditional foods associated with New Year's?
The reason food's so important, it's a time of family reunions since the beginning of ancient times. Among the poorer Chinese texts, meat was only eaten once a year, and that's when they couldn't cut it with a knife lest it bring bad luck during the year. The Japanese used to use, and still do in many parts of Japan today, as I recall from my visits, preserved plums, which represents old age, signify those who ate them would be blessed with long lives. The Hebrews, as I remember from my visits in Israel, they dip the apples in honey, and they still do that today. The Hindus give their friends lemons. Don't ask me why. The Dutch, as I recall, have a homemade pancake mix with black raisins they call oliebol. Every country has its own tradition. America, we use in Texas black-eyed peas.
I remember that.
They bring good luck. And the Indians in America, who antedate all of us, of course, they still use the acorns and the salmon because that's the way they used to date New Year's. That's when the rivers used to run with the acorns and the salmon.
Well, tell me, with all of your research on this subject, what's the most unusual custom you discovered in your travels around the world?
Well, one of the most unusual was the first footing custom in Scotland. You know that one at all, Tex? Well, it's a very interesting one. The young men in Scotland wander from house to house on right after New Year's Eve, and they bring whiskey, round cakes, and a piece of black coal. But what's interesting is that the first young man entering the house is called the first foot, but he has to be dark-haired. If he's light-haired, or as you are, Tex, or red-haired, or no-haired, like me, is considered bad luck. He has to be dark hair. This is an ancient superstition that the Scots have. The first dark-haired man who comes to the door has the privilege of kissing the first girl who comes to the door.
Well, speaking of the customs of New Year's, what about open house? When did that start?
That's actually, as I remember it, from ancient China, from my research. They used to have the practice of opening the house for your friends and enemies. In France and Germany in the 18th, 19th century, they used to have it for the subordinates, the workers who used to come in and make brief calls of formal respects to their bosses. And very often, the young men who were on apprenticeship during the year were given salaried jobs, and they were given it. They were unpaid during the year, and they were given this on New Year's Day. And of course, we have a fine tradition, I think, in the Great South in the United States, which came from ancient China, too, which was for the young folks to make calls on the elderly relatives and old family friends. I think that's a very nice custom, don't you, Tex?
Yes, it is.
It's a gracious one, and I think the South has preserved it more than any other parts of the United States.
Jack Pollock, thanks to you, we'll know why we're doing some of the wild things we do on New Year's Eve, at least some of them, and New Year's Day this year. Although, as far as knowing what we're doing, well, we're all on our own there, I guess. This is Tex Antoine for Monitor.
Happy holidays to everyone everywhere this weekend of Christmas on the Monitor Beacon. Hello again from Barry Nelson and Monitor. Right now, the voice of another GI overseas and his greeting of the season to everyone at home.
Hello, Monitor. This is Airman Third Class Howard Ward. My hometown is Lancaster, Minnesota, but now I'm on duty with the United States Air Force in Tainan, Taiwan. I come from a large family, and of course I'm going to miss all my sisters and my brother. Christmas over here will be okay, but it just won't compare with that of home. We'll be having turkey and a chow hall, but it's nothing compared to Mum's and all the extra things she used to put in there. We'll be having a Christmas tree, but it's pretty scrawny, and it's just nothing like the ones we had at home. I hope to have a very nice Christmas over here on the island of Taiwan. though my thoughts will be with my girl and my parents, Mr. and Mrs. Howard Ward. Merry Christmas to everyone.
And a Merry Christmas from all the folks in Lancaster, Minnesota, to Airman Ward and all servicemen on Taiwan. Monitor, bringing greetings from our servicemen throughout the world to their friends and families at home this Christmas time. The Associated Press, nationwide traffic deaths now total 596. Please drive with extra care during the holidays. Watch out for children darting across the street suddenly or riding a new bike or tricycle onto the traffic or following a ball or roller skating or on the new skis or sled. Kids love the holidays and don't be part of a holiday tragedy. Drive with extra care and help keep the holidays safe and happy for the children.
Cameraman for the Associated Press here in Vietnam got what I guess you might call a rather unusual Christmas present a few days ago. It was a bullet in the head from the Viet Cong. That wasn't really the Christmas present as much as the fact that 5 hours after he got shot in the head, he was back in his office fairly well and healthy. He was out with 173rd Airborne east of Saigon a few days ago when this happened, getting a bullet in the head.
Charlie Company was alerted to move out. I move in with them. And in about 20 minutes after we moved out from the landing zone area, the battalion CP, we came under fire.
What kind of fire?
A terrific amount of intense, heavy fire. They were shooting from the treetops and from the ground level and grenades.
What were you doing this time?
I was in my normal position, hugging the ground, tight. And the company commander of Charlie Company called in airstrikes, and he called in artillery right upon us, right around the perimeter, and they came in close. I think some of the bombs and some of the shells were landing maybe about 50 meters from us. It had to be that way because the VCs were directly around us. By the time, we had casualties lying all over the place.
How did you get it then?
I was hugging the ground beside a tree, and one of the paratroopers next to me just yelled out to me, says, "Hey, Al, you're getting fire directly at your head." And I just instinctively, I poked my head up and zap. I got hit right in the top of my skull, knocked me out.
When did you come to?
I really don't know, a few minutes or...
What occurred to you when you did come to?
That I was hit. And first thing I asked the medic how bad. He said, "Oh, it wasn't too bad. I got the bullet out." Evidently, the bullet just grazed me and just lodged in my skin. And he just pulled it out with his fingers.
But the bullet was stuck in your head?
Stuck in my head, right.
Had you ever been hit before?
No. Came very close to it many times, but never been touched.
You certainly had thought before about what it would be like to be hit.
Yes, I imagine many times that I would have probably. I really don't know what I was thinking. I suppose if I would have gotten hit, but now I know.
Why don't you wear a helmet, Al? Why don't most of them?
If I did wear one, the bullet would have deflected from the steel pot.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been all right. But it's one of those things I never thought I'd get hit.
Well, it leaves you with quite a story to tell. But I don't know whether it's an experience you'd want to go through again just for the sake of the story.
Well, I don't think I want to get shot at. But there's a story out there with the troops, no matter where you go. And I suppose all of newsmen feel the same way about it. They'll go out. They know they're going to be shot at. But it's just one of the things that the newsmen carry out here. I guess they feel the same way as I do.
Good luck.
Thank you.
May the next one catch the steel pot.
Right.
Al Chang, a cameraman for the Associated Press. Al said there at one point that when this happened, he was in his favorite position in the field, hugging the ground tight. Well, we have often seen Al when he was not hugging the ground tight, but was up at least far enough to have his camera in position and to be getting some of the best combat pictures that have come out of this war. Jack Perkins, NBC News, Saigon, reporting for Monitor.
To handle it. And Joe, I think that most anybody with good eyesight and intelligence and reflexes can call a man safer out or call a ball or strike. But how can they handle the situation when it arises and it's a close play and they all descend on him? How does he handle that situation? Now, that's what determines a good umpire to me.
Well, what is the tip-off to you that says that this fellow has the right temperament? You're able to watch all of them.
No, usually when he talks to me, when I get, if he gets mad at me, his boss, you know he's going to get mad at the ball players.
Do you purposely try to get him?
Yes, I do. I argue rules with him, and they start shouting and yelling. And then when I tell him, see what you're doing? See what you're doing? That's what I'm telling you about.
Oh, it's part of the plan.
It's part of the plan.
Do you find that the background of having played baseball is a big plus, or does it make any difference?
I don't think it makes any difference at all. Doesn't make any difference at all. Some of our finest umpires have never played, and some of our finest managers have never been great baseball players. But I don't think it makes any difference whether you played, you have to know the game, you have to have played semi-pro or lower classification, minor league ball or something like that. But you don't have to be a great ball player to be a good umpire.
That was National League President Warren Giles. And this is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports. Now this word for Chrysler. Here's one for you. What was the longest recorded fight? With gloves, that is. The answer? One that took place in New Orleans on the 6th and 7th of April, 1893, and went from 9:15 p.m. to 4:34 a.m. That's a long time to take a beating, but it happens every day to motorists who take a beating from winter. Why not winterize now with certified car care at the place where you're sure they'll do the job right, your Chrysler, Plymouth, or Dodge dealers?
Enjoy the lively reporting of Joe Garagiola on sports throughout the weekend on Monitor and weekdays, too, on NBC Radio. A sports reminder, this afternoon, 4:15 Eastern Standard Time, follow the American Football League Championship game on NBC Radio and Television, and on New Year's Day, all the action of the Sugar, Rose, and Orange Bowl games. Always the best in sports on NBC. bird watchers will have identified that one by now as the Bird of Bleecker Street, and the group has been identified as the Village Stompers. Across village and hamlet, town and city, from coast to coast, you can hear Monitor on NBC. In the eastern Pennsylvania area, folks hear us on WEST. A brief intermission and check-in time for all our stations, then we'll return. First, another friend and another greeting.
Hi, this is Johnny Desmond. Glad to have a chance to wish everyone listening to Monitor a Merry Christmas and a very happy 1966.
Glenn Miller Orchestra on the All-Star Parade of Bands, New Year's Eve, on the NBC Radio Network.